Hey, welcome everybody to our Case Study Corner webinar today. We are excited to have you on and even more excited to be able to feature some exciting results from some of our members. And I will say this, we need to hear more of you. So we've got a couple of great case studies today, and I know there's a couple more that we've been hearing about where the popcorn's getting ready to pop, and we've got several of you that have already been enjoying some cash flow coming every month, and we hope you'll take the time to download that case study template from the members area and share your case study with everyone. We'd love to help you do that. So it's kind of us helping put the finishing touches on some of your case studies that you can use in other marketing. So without any further ado, let's jump right into this today. We've got some quick announcements and a few updates for you. We're going to go through that. We'll jump into the cases, and as always, we will open it up for Q&A. So hopefully, guys, if you have some and didn't get them submitted to the hotline and they're just kind of general questions, we will stay. We are, as always, we're committed to stay on the line until your questions are answered. So very good. So November 19th and 20th, a lot of you already know about this, but we're going to be going through just what another thing we're excited about, too, is we've got both firsts and seconds, both performing and non-performing, that we'll be going through our due diligence on and learning more and more how to strengthen that due diligence muscle at our event November 19th and 20th. So we're super excited about that. That's actually our last workshop of the year. It's going to be at the Best Western, I guess technically the Best Western Plus Hacienda in Old Town. So great little location. We did have lunch there at the Old Tequila Factory, and it's the hotel just off of that. But you're right in the heart of Old Town. They have a shuttle that's included with your hotel room if you stay at the hotel. And anyway, great little location. We hope you guys will join us, last one of the year. And that you can see there just by logging into the members area, clicking on the events page, you guys can RSVP. I know several of you have already done that. If you have, please do that. There will be an email in the follow-up to this particular call. So that's number one. The summit, that's a special PPMG only, members only registration link. And I won't spend a ton of time on that other than to remind you guys that you are getting, you know, a VIP access for the price of a standard ticket. And so go ahead and get that taken care of. That is a single ticket price. I had that question come in. So you would be paying that same price for one of your guests, which we encourage the guest to be a business partner or a spouse and go about it that way. So please register if you haven't already done that. There's a few of the lists there. You'll see on the list of benefits for VIPs. Kind of a cool deal. We do have a couple of presentations we're going to be doing in the VIP / PPMG room, so that are for members only. So we hope you guys will look forward to that and make it a priority to get out there in January for our big annual shindig. So very good. We've also, for those of you who saw, we initiated the, some of you may or may not know that we were able to acquire the domain name notetools.com, and we're starting to send the weekly e-zine or email newsletter, the Note Tools Insider. So lots of things we want to accomplish with that, but we'd love your feedback, ideas, or other suggestions. If you guys come across something that's new or newsworthy in any way that you feel like you want the group or people in the industry to know, I love to give credit for people that forward that to me and can allow us to publish some of that. Anyway, we'd love your feedback on that. We'd love to feature you in that as well. And you'll be able to drop your links to your company and do those things as it relates to writing up different case studies. So that's a big deal for us, and I think it's good. And we encourage you guys, if you're depending on what you're trying to do in your business, if one of your goals is to scale and grow, one of the best catch-all follow-up tools is a newsletter. So we will train on that more in the future, but that's something keep an eye out for. It'll go out once a week. Side-by-side coaching, just wanted to do a quick update for you guys. We've got a handful of people that take advantage of this. and we feel like we want you guys to know how important this can be to your business. And just because you're at a distance doesn't mean you can't take advantage of this. So we literally have time blocks on Tuesdays and Thursdays for these PPMG members only side-by-side coaching sessions. So if you want to schedule a 60-minute block with Kristen, and I should add in there myself or Aaron, but a lot of times people are looking for help on the workouts. That is virtually or in office. So if you can email Patty to get on Kristen or our schedule, that would really streamline the process. And just to remind you, which if you can, in that email, let's just go ahead and submit a bullet point list of what you want to accomplish in that session. And then if there's any documents, just attach them directly to the email, or preferably, if you're using Google Drive like we hope you are, just share the folder of where those documents are that you want help with or that you want some review on when we are actually on the call. So very helpful. It makes things go a lot smoother if you organize and take advantage of time. This is for side-by-side, guys. That's directly, this is the done-with-you membership benefit that I feel you should all be taking advantage of, and not as many of you do that can. And there's also the look over your shoulder, which is more of an observance, right? So this is different than just looking over your shoulder and kind of seeing, you know, Kristen do her work. This is more help specifically on your deals. So Patty, you know, is not able to get you guys on the schedule without that email submitted with those two key items. So she'll work with you to make sure she gets what you're looking to get done in that call. So this is a big deal, and we want you to be able to do that. We're excited about some of the updates to the website. So in the resources section, we've got our menu of services that we can help you guys out with. We have gotten questions from people asking us to run a TLO, you know, or a credit report on loans that they're buying from somewhere else. And just for lots of different reasons, we're going to be limiting the credit pulls and the TLOs, skip trace, et cetera, on what we do. If those are notes that you're buying from us, those typically are already going to be included, right? If they haven't been on notes that you bought in previous situations, let us know, but that's something we can definitely help with. So any questions, guys, just fire away in the question box as we go through these on these announcements. But that's a new setup there, and you can also email John at MaxRightMeet if you have any questions on the members area. So just in terms of inventory, I know several of you have already bought some notes in months past, and then also recently as part of this most recent trade. Coming up at our workshop, November 19th and 20th, we will have a new tape of first that we are actually going to be closing on. And we may have closed, I doubt we will have closed by the workshop because we're in our due diligence period, but those will be notes that are available. We're going to be taking some, and it's a large funding commitment. And if there's people that are looking to buy some, you know, they will be available then. And we also have a few there. I think there's five or six pools left on the seconds, non-performing seconds, that are the blended pools, as well as some single assets. And then there will be another release of seconds this Friday. So if you have any questions on that, Aaron's the primary contact for the trade desk, and you've got two ways to contact there, via email or phone him directly on his office number. And feel free to copy me, just so we kind of have a check and balance. And we have a lot going, you guys, and so we just want to make sure, if you want to, feel free to copy Patty too. So she's following up and is very good at making sure we're getting back to people in a timely manner because that's our number one priority. So, and again, just buying criteria, approximate funding amounts that you're looking at, and most of you should have already proofed up funds and done your NDAs already, so we'll just kind of refer to that as well. So again, any questions, let us know on that. Out today, very good, very good. All right, so let's go ahead and jump in to Case Study Corner, and get a feel for what types of deals that we've got going on in the group. We're real excited, and I'm going to go ahead and just make sure, see here who we've got on the line. I'm going to unmute here. John, can you hear me? John Costigan, can you hear me? John's not there. I got you unmuted, John. I don't know if you've muted your own line. We'll try to get you involved. Let's maybe go to, I'm going to go to Eric Turner first. Eric, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
All right, let's do this. Real quick, I am going to fast forward. And if we get John, John, are you there? John Costigan? Paging John, paging John. All right, we'll try and get you on in a minute, John.
There we are.
Oh, there's John. Okay, good. So, Eric, I'm going to mute you, and we'll go with John first. So I'll bring you back on in a minute. So, all right, John, here's what we're going to do, guys. As many of you know, we brought in at our recent workshop, we started to make some REOs available. And we've actually purchased some there. But John has gotten the fastest result out of anybody. And, yes, there was some maybe a little luck involved because he happened to be out there. But I also feel like, you know, luck is really where preparation meets opportunity, right? You know, so let's talk about this case study because John picked up a pool of REOs. And, John, maybe just set this up for us a little bit. This was one of the assets in the pool that you bought, right? So it was right around a $50,000,
$55,000 pool? Yeah, I purchased this and four other properties in that pool.
Gotcha, gotcha. So this was one of the small ones here. You can see their lot size, year built. But let's just go ahead here. Before you bought, really, the extent of your due diligence was, let me jump on RPR and see what it pulls up, right? Is that really kind of what you did initially? Was there anything else that you did on that previous to closing?
I didn't have much time to do anything else. That's exactly what I did, was figure out which ones had the best spread.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So on this particular one, it came up as $94,000, and just backing up here to show you the picture, you know, I was like, okay, I guess that could fly. It's in New York. The house looks a little beat up, like a lot of REOs do, right? And so you see there, that was just the price that was assigned as part of the blended pool. So after what you found out after, right? So obviously just bringing these, the property tax check came up and the taxes were current. You did a property inspection. Maybe just talk about this whole experience, and then we'll get into what your gold nugget was. Are you on just on the phone, or are you also on where you're seeing the slides?
I'm seeing the slides because I'm on an internet connection.
Perfect, perfect. So I had a garage, very large lot. Sounds like over an acre. It was vacant. Did you know that before? Or was that after you guys did the inspection?
No, I knew that the lot was an acre lot.
But
so,
in terms of occupancy status, you didn't know before that, right?
No. I you know, supposedly all of these properties are vacant when we were buying them. I bought them through the person at the meeting that we were dealing with. So all of the properties are supposed to be vacant. They're supposed to be taken back as REO, and they were a bulk purchase from the bank that had REOs in bulk. So I picked up five of those. Of the five, this one, I had to be in New York for family deal, and decided to do a 2.5-hour drive to go look at this property.
Nice.
We went and looked at the property, and to find that the building was in extraordinarily bad condition. the foundation was undermined and actually collapsing underneath the structure. So we walked around, saw what we could see there. At one point, we were thinking about going and visiting neighbors, and at that time, one of the neighbors on their little John Deere tractor came over to visit us.
He was out mowing his lawn on the John Deere tractor?
No, he saw us wandering around the property and was wondering what we were up to.
Oh, gotcha.
So I got into the property and went through the whole property. He came down and he said, well, how did you, I said, who are you, and so forth. I said, well, we're the people that just bought the property. So I went through the process with him and said, if you want to buy the property, I can sell it to you. We can get, we can put that together. What are you willing to pay for it? Well, what are you willing to take? And we went back and forth for about 15 minutes doing that. And I said, okay.
He tried to buy it for quite some time, it sounds like, right? I remember you telling me that. And he just couldn't find out how to get in touch with who was selling it or...
Right.
Interesting.
So I got it. Eventually, I said, okay, I got about $10,000 in it, so I'll take $20,000 for the property, which is my normal return. At that point,
Hold on for a minute, John. Hold on. I hate to interrupt you, but you just did a couple of great things there, which I like. You know, negotiations, round numbers, and I like the label you put on that. That's just my normal return, right? Like I double my money. That's my normal return, right? And it was interesting. You said, I've got about 10 in it. Did he put a number out there first, or who?
No, he refused to give me a number. The guy's an antique dealer, so he was playing the game. So I said, okay, it would be quick. It gets me out of it quickly. Well, I'll take $20,000 for it. And he said, no, I won't give you $20,000 for it. I said, okay, what will you give me? Well, I'll give you 15. I said, okay, I'll take 15. I'll set that up and have the people call you to get it put together. And that was sort of the overall how the deal went. The property was in hideous condition. It's just these properties are very, very rough and all have pretty significant problems.
So you were excited to be out from underneath that, knowing that, hey, I didn't want to necessarily have to go fix stuff up to...
Well, the property needed a full new foundation.
Yeah. So it's interesting, because I know when we were there, learning about, I've heard different guys come and talk about REOs, and they just said, listen, you are buying the junk. Just very similar to what, some of these things were doing, that what the banks didn't want or what they couldn't sell elsewhere, elsewhere. And that's why you're getting such a steep discount. But we know some of these properties, this is not for the faint of heart, right, to go in on these REOs. But at the same time, every once in a while in there, there's a little jewel here. And some people might say that this is luck. Again, I think this is just an awesome deal. And one thing I'll just throw in there that we've started to implement, and it's just called a radius mailing. And as we put together more of these mail pieces, because we're starting to use them on properties we take back, which obviously works in an REO situation, but you may have somebody in that neighborhood. John happened to be out there, but what happens if I just didn't happen to be out in New York, for whatever reason, where the property was, and I can't be wherever I want to buy? You could easily spend $100 to $300, and they put it in carrier route sequence, and you literally just, I just want to target this little radius and say, pick your neighbor, or, you could have, so we'll show you some of the results coming up here. We're filling a property now using this technique, so we'll see how it goes. We've got a couple of people that want the house now, and I'm like forcing myself to do this radius mailing just to to get it out there and let people know and see what types of results it pulls besides the people that have been nosing around this particular property that we took back. So anyway, well, no, very cool. Anything else? Any other little tidbits of lessons you learned here?
That's a fabulous idea to take these and do a mailing around the property. I didn't think of that one, but that one's a great idea to get these things moved. The biggest thing is, you know, the company on the buy here, pay here is great, but they're looking to put notes on these things, and to be honest, they're a little bit slow about it. So that would be a great idea to ship out some mailers around them, see if I can get some quick response on these and get that moved, get more of them moved back out right away.
Let me back up really quick here, John, on what you were just talking about. So for those of you guys that are on the call and you're hearing this for the first time, there is an option in where you can actually have the service. They have a separate service from who you're buying the REOs from, separate company that can help in the disposition side of it. But that exit, like John said, you know, they're looking for 3 to 4 months, so it's 90 to 120 days is what they ask for to get that done if you want to do that. And so on our end, because we've been buying some of them, we're actually testing some of these things ourselves, right, just because we have a marketing background and then, you know, reaching out to force ourselves to get a network on the ground. But at the same time, we're also vetting that service. So if there's other people that have bought some, you know, please, we are able to escalate. They really want a great relationship with us. So let's just make sure we're reporting back on how everyone's experience is, because that's what this group's all about. So yeah, very good. But, yeah, we can go and do some of that and kind of force the issue ourselves and see what types of results we get. If it's something you're going to do on a larger scale or, you know, more than, you know, maybe 3 to 5 properties, there are some systems that we can share that we're setting up if that's something you guys are interested in, you know, once you actually have the house, right? So very good, very good. Anything else, John?
They aren't 3 to 4 months, I think you're thinking extremely minimum. I don't think they're going to move these things in 3 to 4 months because they're not doing a lot of marketing on them. I think your idea of doing area mailers is a fabulous idea, and I think we could pull, like this one, all the guy's looking to do is knock down the house. He wants to clear the lot and add it to his existing property. So, you know, and he said, it's going to cost me $29,000 to get rid of the house and the garage. So that's where the value was in that property, not in the house.
Yep. And what's interesting about, and again, this will be where we can all kind of, you know, pull together and put the data that we have from each of the different things we do, but the goal is to create a competitive situation. If you get 3 or 4 people that want the property, right, that's a good thing for you, right? So anyway, very good. So big question for all you guys. Y'all saw that. I'm raising my hand. Virtually. I got a virtual hand raise going on here. So congrats to you, my friend, and keep us posted. Keep us posted on any of those other deals as they come up. So we're going to move to Eric. Thanks again, John.
Thanks a lot.
So we'll mute John, and let's go to Eric. And I don't know, is Melanie on as well? I'll get Eric on first. Unmute Eric.
Hey, Travis, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. There you are.
All right, yeah, Melanie's on with me. We're together.
Well, very good, very good. The tag team, you know, definitely in the running for Rookie Note Investors of the Year here coming up at NIS in January. So tell us about this deal. We can go through a few of these slides here as well, but just initially, This was one of the liens as part of a 27 note package, right?
Yes.
And it's in Summit, Missouri. And that house, I think they're thinking of vacating that house real soon. Don't you guys? I'm kidding. That house right there, wow. That's a good deal. They're not looking to go anywhere. Big old lot, 4-bedroom, 3-bath. Definite emotional equity present there. So go through it with us. So these are some of the things you guys knew kind of beforehand, right? So just go ahead and you guys are seeing screen two, correct?
Yep. Yeah, we are. Yeah, so when we first bought the pool, it was a little bit underwater, you know, worth less than the first. The first was current. First mortgage payment was $1,888, and that included impounds. One of the things that was interesting was it's a really nice house, but when I checked Rent-A-Meter saying like $1,100. So it had a negative payment spread, so I didn't necessarily want the property back. And I was really, throughout this whole process, I was really leveraging the emotional equity in the property, you know, to try to get the best deal I could get in keeping the borrower in the property.
Very cool. So a few things, so you guys can see that are looking at that. A lot of your basics, this stuff comes from our kind of our entry-level due checklist right before we start digging deeper. But those are a lot of the basics that we look at there, guys. And he brought up Rent-A-Meter. There it is on the next slide. You know, but you can see now just in, what, 8 months, 7 months, a little bump on the value.
Yeah, and I can't remember if that first fair market value, you know, from the previous screen, that might have been either the FMV that the seller gave us, or it might have been Zillow, so it may not be apples to apples. Another thing from this first slide, the credit report comment, several collections for medical expenses. Melanie actually got on Google and Googled the borrower and found out he was in a car accident about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, that was not his fault. His son was driving. He was in the passenger, and they basically got T-bone, and it said he had moderate injuries. So we were thinking, especially as you'll see as we get down later in the slides when I was actually negotiating with him, I thought maybe he might have some money, you know, to be able to settle or something like that. But so this slide, you know, what we know now, the value had come up, so we were, you know, willing to be a little bit more aggressive, you know, with the attorney demand and maybe even initiating foreclosure just to try to get some traction, you know, without fear of being stripped. As I said, it kind of had a negative payment spread, and then it just had all the, you know, there's all the numbers for our note. You know, it was a 10.875. Interest rate, his original payment was 473. The UPB was just under 50 grand. He had another, you know, 40 grand or so in delinquent interest and late fees. But the value of the house was only, you know, maybe 15 grand or so, 15, 20 grand more than the first.
Yeah, so a little bit of protective equity there on your at least your purchase and stuff. So okay, so let's look here. So you guys picked that up. That's your pool price that you assigned, right? You kind of assigned that across the whole pool.
Yes.
Right. And what's interesting to me is you guys are the masters of getting. There's some callbacks here, and you just had that was an external demand. One, you got it done for 35, which was amazing. I don't think we've ever paid 35. I guess we haven't done a lot in Missouri, but that's a really good price. And so
and
servicing.
It just happened to be that's the cheapest we've had. Also, I think maybe attorneys are just cheaper in Missouri.
So there's your all-in number. So I like that number. And then let's jump over here and talk about the reason for default. And just some of the conversations. So they actually answered just shortly after your external default letter. Is that right?
Well, it was actually about 3 days before the external letter expired. So I haven't had anyone call me on an external demand letter. You know, we've sent, you know, 4 or 5 out. And so far we haven't had any luck. But I think if nothing else, maybe they it motivates them to answer the phone and try to get you off their back or something. So we had tried calling him a couple times before with no luck, and this just happened to be right before the external demand expired. He was very abrasive when we first got on the phone, and you know, said there's no way he owed any of that back interest. He didn't know how to pay, who to pay. We had bought the loan for pennies on the dollar. He had said he had tried to refund.
Quick question on that, Eric. Is that the first time you guys have ever heard that? I know if Kristen and Philip and Aaron and myself, and there's others on the call too. I mean, on these seconds, guys, just get ready for that. You guys paid pennies on the dollar. Why don't I pay you a little bit more than what you paid for it? You know, and that's, you know, you gotta have your rebuttal for that, because that's like their go-to. It's like they've been trained.
Yeah.
So good job on that. You guys will see some of Eric's posturing here shortly when we go through the timeline. So, okay.
And so he basically told me he was only interested in a one-time settlement. And he basically kind of left it at, well, go ask your people or your management what they're willing to settle for and send me something, and I'll see if I can, you know. And I think he said he would see if he could refi his first and wrap it all into one.
And it's funny, him saying that, for those of you guys taking note, remember what his FICO score was? He's like he's under 600. What are the chances of that, right? So yeah. You got to kind of have all your ducks in a row to know when someone's saying, yeah, I'll do that, and you're like, and pigs fly, right? So
and
interesting.
And I think the loan to value. I mean, it there wasn't.
Is that there to... exactly real skinny. So go through this timeline. You guys can just see, maybe just without going through all of it, just highlight, you know, some of the highlights here. You guys will see. Just following the process and the members area, that's all laid out here. You got to stay on top of stuff. So this is actually, have you even gotten your assignment of mortgage recorded or your recording back yet? So you guys have got this thing negotiated. Has that come back yet?
I think we just in the last week or two maybe got the assignment from Richmond Monroe. We were doing a lot of this stuff before we actually had the assignment complete.
Gotcha. So when you say complete now, so you had the executed assignment, it just hadn't been recorded. So I, you know, people say, well, should I wait for the recording to come in? I'm like, heck no, get work in the file, and you'll need that recording if you end up foreclosing, right? So, but work that file and get it going. So what else?
That's really what we were doing. We were trying to work the file, and at the same time, I think one thing that early on, I've been learning more how to manage my vendors like FCI and Richmond Monroe or whatever, that I just kind of send an email asking for an update on my whole pool, and sometimes get no response or anything like that. And what I found has been a little bit more effective is as I get closer to action steps on particular files, you know, I'll send Richmond Monroe an email and say, I've already initiated foreclosure on this file. I still don't have the recorded assignment back. Please let me know if there's anything I can do on my end or what needs to get done to expedite this. And I've gotten a lot better response from the vendors, you know, when I kind of hone down on a specific file on exactly what I need and not just, hey, what's the status of my whole pool and all the assignments.
Eric, I couldn't agree with you more. We've done the exact same thing internally. You know, you would think with a certain number of loans, like, you know, here's a little spreadsheet, send it back to me, give me an update on all my assignments, and crickets, right? You got crickets, yeah. And you're waiting to hear back from someone. But the minute you separate out to a single asset, so there's gold in this little tip, guys, because we've noticed the exact same thing. You know, they're overwhelmed with the big email. Right, but when you say, hey, I got one file, or you know, just kind of talk to them about a single file and I need this by this deadline because I've got this process in place and you're the ones holding it up, a lot different than, hey, you know, kind of an open-ended, can you give me an update on my assignments? And that's a big tip. So thanks for sharing that, Eric. That's really good. So you guys can see that attorney demand letter went out 8-6 with a deadline of 9-10, and he waited pretty close till the last minute. Was pretty defensive, as you were already saying. Whoops. Sorry, let's jump back here. There we go. We know he can't refi the first. So here's your first offer, which is the 44. So he came right back saying 15 grand.
Yeah, so he wouldn't give me a number initially, and so I came with the first number, and that was basically all the lates and arrearages waived and 5K of the UPB. It was about, maybe 5.5 times my investment. And we had kind of, I think, initially said we'd be willing to settle for maybe three times our investment if we could get them up that high. And one thing that I did when I sent them the first, when I sent them the offer, was I said if this settlement doesn't work for you, we can start looking at modifying your loan terms to get you on a payment plan. And then I said, or if you'd prefer not to stay in the house, would you consider a deed in lieu of foreclosure? So I was kind of, in my mind, posturing that we're not going away and we're going to get this resolved one way or another, but kind of leaving him options.
Very good. Guys, you guys that are listening to this, what I'd like you to do, because I'm leaving it on the screen for a minute on each of these timeline slides, and Eric's been gracious enough to post some of the emails as he sent them out, and on some of these, it's just him, what he was willing to consider. There are a few emails that he got a little input on here and there, but for the most part, these are your files, and so I want you to point out in this email, what are some of the important ingredients. Just type it in the box there. Type it in the question box and see what do you guys think are some of the important ingredients to this. And I'll give you guys just a few minutes on that because I think it's important just to engage. Let's see if anyone engages here. But I can count like three or four things that I think are absolute gold in this particular email. And thanks for the quick reply. And then in this next part, I just love this, the next seven words, unfortunately. So, I mean, you got some posturing here. Man, we got an engaged crowd. Uh-oh. There we go. Here comes some. Let's go to that. So, Alan's engaged there. Deadline, alternatives referring to management. Exactly, guys. Eric and Melanie are a husband-wife team. But there should always be a management team, right? So one or the other, whoever's talking to someone, that's the management team.
Melanie's my manager.
That's right. That's right. We know that's true. We know that's true in life anyway, Eric. I mean, tell the truth.
Exactly.
Right?
It's like, that's easy. I don't even have to act. I mean, I can't. My hands are tied. I got to talk with the boss.
You have no authority. Right. And it's actually, quite frankly, when you're on the phone, that's, if you're a one-man shop, I strongly encourage that. You do not have authority to act on that call or that email. It's like, you got to go back and they got to sit and wait and stew about it a little bit. And so anyway, who's to say that $15,000 isn't the cost he's got invested with his time and everything, right? So the next part I wanted to point out here, and Kristen, let me just put Kristen on here. Kristen, are you there? Let me see. It's saying mute Kristen. I need to unmute Kristen. Uh-oh. Sorry, guys. Unmute Kristen. Are you there, Kristen? Can you
come
on? Oh, there you are. So I want you to chime in on a few things on this email as well. I keep doing all the talking. I'm sorry, guys. But this next line about the 56.6% discount, right? What do you guys think about that? Why is that important? Whoops. Trigger happy here. A lot of times, I tell people, go ahead, Kristen. What are we taking that discount number off of?
The total due.
So remember that, guys. It's the total due. It's not the discount off of the UPB when they last stop paying. You want to tack arrearages and lates, all outstanding fees that are on there. That's the number that's paid because that's what they contractually owe, right? So.
Yeah, and I can't remember if it's on one of the next slides, but that really ticked him off too. It might be on one of the next slides, but he didn't like that I was offering such a big discount off the total amount due that he didn't feel like he owed.
Yeah, Chris, maybe just expand on the. He said borrower is replying is gold. Got that. Guess I'm not totally understanding that, but. So here's Craig. He didn't accept the first offer. He gave the borrower options, each of which would work. Very good. Very good. So, and he's pushing them right into where he wants them. You know, kind of, I call that a takeaway sell, right? So he's actually taking the settlement right off the table. It's like, perhaps that's not feasible for you. You don't qualify, basically. Modify your loan terms. Let's get you on a payment plan, right? And there's your deed in lieu. Would not affect, and sometimes you need to be educated because how many borrowers do you think actually know what a deed in lieu of foreclosure is? They just don't. They don't. So I like this, Alan. Stated alternative in positive terms rather than threat terms, although the threat is implied. I love it. Very good languaging here by Eric in the email. Another one from Alan. Point six. I like that. Point six. That's good feedback because I don't know that we've had the 0.6%. Kristen, have we?
No.
We haven't? Okay, that's what I thought. So it's like a 56. In fact, we should go now, thanks to Alan, we're going to go to two decimal spots on our discounts. That's great. That's really good. And then you guys have already mentioned this, but on the very bottom there, which I think is huge, and I know when I was working the loans personally, and Kristen's pretty much 100% now, but you know, I get copied on stuff, so once in a while, and she knows that's my go-to question, is did you include a response deadline? What's the response deadline? And she pretty much can recite it back to me, but that's a big deal, guys. Annette, what are you going to do when they miss the response deadline? So that's real key. So we're kind of going deep in this because I want to teach because Eric did a lot of great things to get this workout done. So let's just go here to the next one. So timeline. So now you're kind of getting the back and forth here. So this is from the borrower. So this is hopefully, if this is helpful and you guys are learning some stuff from this, just, you know, kind of let us know in the question box so I know I feel like this is great use of time and going through this case study and peeling back the layers of the onion here. So you can see there, chime in on some of this, Eric, because you were going through it live. And so he immediately comes back in the 56 and 0.6% in his emails, around 28,000. That's interesting.
Yeah, so he basically, I think, went off of the UPB because he said, I don't owe all the late fees. So he was kind of trying to bring the negotiation down. And, you know, he also said if you foreclose, which I had never said. Like Alan said, I tried to spin it positive, say a deed in lieu of foreclosure, but you know the implication was there, and so he went right to, you know, he was ticked off that the word foreclosure even came up, and he said I wouldn't get anything, and this would just entice me to declare bankruptcy, which honestly, as the negotiations went on, and I found out a little bit more about him, I almost wish he had declared bankruptcy because I think. I think he would have, you know, maybe even done better than we did on the workout. But then
you guys catch that on the call. I want you to catch that because I did not get that early on in the process, and it's taken me going through a couple of these deals where they wouldn't call me back. They did go into bankruptcy. They couldn't strip us in a Chapter 13, but they did bankruptcy anyway. And now we're getting both a full payment and an arrearage payment as part of the bankruptcy plan. So that's what Eric means when he says that. BK is not always a bad thing. It's bad in terms of a lien strip, but it's really good in terms of a, hey, you know, something's happening here. They got to start performing. So sorry to cut you off there, Eric. I just wanted to make that point because that's a really, really important point.
Yeah, and at this point, I had never, I hadn't gotten any docs from the borrower because all, you know, I had gotten a hold of them. We had kind of talked about settlement, but I had never underwrote his financials, so I had no idea what, you know, what this guy had or what he made or anything. But this email was the first time that he said he came up from $15,000 to $19,000 for a settlement, and then he came up, he threw out the first number for a payment of $225 a month. And he said, I would do automatic withdrawal so there would be no late fees. Or so, you know, I'm basically saying he, it would be an automatic withdrawal out of his account. So, and that's, and he also had said, you know, quit putting that discount number on the loan because that's ridiculous. So my email back to him, I had put, I had basically said the amount on the settlement agreement is based on the legal amount owed per the loan documents you signed. I said I couldn't legally put any other amounts on the document. I said I'll run your settlement offer by management, but I think they will say that $19,000 is not reasonable based on the amount owed. I'll start working on a payment plan.
Very good. A question coming in from Alan. Did Eric have any idea as to his other unsecured debt that would be wiped out in BK13? Comment on that, Kristen, because to my knowledge, the unsecured debt is not wiped out in BK13 at all. That's in a 7 where it gets wiped out, if I'm not mistaken, but I don't believe you had one. You can comment on that, Kristen, too. Eric, 13 did you know?
With the plan. 13, they would have to be paying on the plan, and then they would have to file the motion vacate lien to be granted to not pay the second, regardless.
For some reason, you sound like you're in a cave right there on your sound, Kristen. I'm not sure what it is, but yeah, so the BK13, they're just kind of restructuring their payments. They're still coming through and paying. Sometimes there's some, you know, stuff that, that in terms of getting wiped out, they're still paying it. And then, Eric, the question, go ahead.
From what I recall and analyzing this borrower with Eric, he didn't strike me as a candidate to file BK, even though he may have threw that out there in conversation. We kind of thought that for sure he was going to come around.
Yeah, that actually, later on we found out, you know, once I found out his income and expenses and all that, I was like, there's no, if this guy had filed BK, it would have been, you know, easy, a regular payment plan on top of all the lates and arrearages just based on his income.
Yeah.
I didn't know that at this time.
Yeah, I'd like to make a note, Kristen and John, just to, we actually had Rand Johnson from Trustee Corps, and I know Matt's helped us a little bit. Phillips talked about this. Kristen, we've had conversations. It'd be really interesting to know what are some of those signs, and maybe we can go through some of that on a upcoming training, just to talk about what are the signs that, you know, that increase the likelihood of a BK versus, I mean, what are we looking at to say, well, this guy, I just can't see him filing BK, and kind of looking at that and kind of presenting that in terms of what we look at, because, you know, we want to get more and more aggressive on foreclosure because that's where all our best workouts are coming in, and sometimes you're underwater. And I know other guys that invest in non-performing seconds, and they go all in on foreclosure the entire time, right? And there's very few that they put on the shelf, and it just forces people to a decision faster, and they just kind of roll with those bankruptcy filings that, you know, strip them out, and that's just part of what they had. But they said typically they like that because it flushes out the people that didn't want to stay in the property anyway, or if they did, you know, sometimes they just are averaging that out. You know, we've been a little more conservative if we're close on equity, waiting for equity to maybe come back, but very interesting. So quick add-on here to Alan. Dang it, my keeps coming back here. Every time I check the questions, my mouse triggers out. I've heard that not all unsecured debt is paid in BK13. It could be a percentage based on available equity. Is this right or question? So I do not know the answer to that, and we do have some additional bankruptcy people coming to talk to us in here in a couple weeks. I know that is true. So we'll definitely, let's grab that question unless someone else has a comment on it. I think that's a good deal. I know we get these piddly checks coming in from 3 or 4 BK13 plans, and that's just what they're deciding that we're getting. So that's probably very accurate. So let's jump to this next slide. So this is a follow-up email, or this is part of that. Okay, this is the same to that email. And you're just assuming the close on the loan mod, it looks like, Eric, right? Just that's where we're going?
When he just came up to 19, I just thought we were going to be too far apart. So I really started trying to drive towards the payment option.
Yeah, I like that. Get them to come down $4.5K for a lump settlement.
And so the first on the 11th, I think that was on a Friday. And then I kind of basically said, hey, why don't you start getting your stuff together so we can underwrite it for a payment plan, and then we kind of just let the weekend settle. I didn't give them a hard response deadline here. I kind of was just like, hey, how soon can you get me everything? And then what I did is on Monday, I came back and I gave them one more settlement option. I came down like another $5,000. And I said, I realize this is still more than you wanted to pay, but I'm trying to keep this option open. And then I said, let's try to get together today to go over, basic underwriting and while he's tracking down the documentation so I can get started working on something. And we had a lot of back and forth, I think, over that next week.
So roll into this. I know you guys did a semi-permanent agreement with them.
Yeah, so we kind of, I sent them the first payment option, and I had put a $5,000 down payment. And then when I underwrote his financials, basically, him and his wife have a combined income of about $135,000 a year, and his expenses were not that crazy. He didn't have crazy high expenses, and so when I underwrote it, I basically kept his payment at the original payment of like $473,000 because it was within all the underwriting guidelines. And I sent it to him, and then he sent me an email back. It's like, these terms are unacceptable to me. $5,000 down, we didn't talk about that. The payment's, over $200 more than the $225 that he said he wanted to pay. But I was just kind of looking at his UPB, and the biggest, I guess, expense that he has is he has a college freshman and a high school senior, So college bills are on the horizon, and those big banks aren't going to take that into consideration when doing a mod. They're going to say, hey, he can go get a school loan or something like that. I was trying to be the good guy and say I'm working on his behalf to get a plan that works, for him and everything. So we kind of went back and forth, and from the $5,000 down and $470 a month, this is what we ended up agreeing to. He was going to make three payments of $1,000 towards the lates and arrearages and lender fees, and then the remainder of the lates and arrearages will be forgiven over 5 years. So every year of good payments, one-fifth of those lates and arrearages go away. After those three initial payments, the UPB of $49,686.51. He finally came back after a lot of negotiation and said $400 was his max payment, period. So all I did was I stretched out the payment to 480 months. I put a $400 payment in and backed it out in the 10b-2. And it came out to a 9.436 interest rate. So that's what I threw back in his face is, okay, $400 a month, you got what you wanted. And then
he also included that option to settle in there for 3 years. He's got a 3-year period where he can still pay you off.
Yeah, and this was actually, I had finally gotten him up to $400 a month, but he said he wasn't going to put anything down. So then in my last email to him, I had kind of said, would you consider foregoing the, said he was saving $1,500 a month for college tuition for his college, for his high school senior for next year. So I just said, would you consider foregoing the college savings for 3 months at $1,500 a month and then picking up with a $400 payment in January? And then he came back and said, I'd do 3 payments of $1,000. And so we said, hey, we'll take that. So then I had locked up that agreement, and he said, yeah, that's good. I sent it to him. He reviewed the agreement, and then he said he came back with, oh, I still want the option to settle for 38.5 if things go well the next couple years. So then what I did, in case I ever want to sell the loan down the road, I said I'll talk to management. We can probably do something, but they'll probably just put an expiration on that. So I didn't want that option out there forever because at the 9.4% interest rate, 480 payment loan, it takes like 10 years just to knock the UPB down to like 45 grand. So I mean, it's going to take a long time to get down to that 38.5, and I didn't want, you know, decreasing my my potential sales price if I ever decide to sell the loan. So I ended up putting a 3-year expiration in there, and you know, like I said, I think his emotional equity is there. He doesn't want to go anywhere. He'll pay on it, and if he pays me off, you know, within 3 years for 38.5, I made a good return plus whatever payments he's made. And then after that 3 years, his UPV is higher, and if I wanted to sell the loan, I'd have, you know, 3 years of seasoning and a decent interest rate and still a lot of payments left on the loan.
Yeah, I like what you did. Even though you stretched the term out, which can kind of shoot yourself in the foot if the resale you want to do later, but you kept the rate really nice and high. So that's really good in terms of getting people the yield they'd want if they were to buy this from you. But obviously this is a cash flow asset for you in the portfolio, and I like it. I think this is going to be a anchor. Unless they get some sort of employment trouble, this is going to be an anchor loan. So how many of you guys would be good with this structure that the Turners have put together here? Chat in the chat box. Let me know you're not over on Facebook chatting with your friends so I know that you're here. Let us know. Type it in there and let us know if this is a deal you'd look at. So, all right, Chris is in. Chris is engaged. Like it, Chris. That's very good. Anybody else besides Chris? All right. Facebook says, yeah. All right, Alan. Good job. All right, so let's look at it real quick, just the final numbers. We got a couple takers that are on. Oh, Brenda says yes. Yep, Tom and Jan like it. Very good, very good. All right, so those are your numbers, guys, and the numbers are there. Really good numbers on this. So I like this, and this is going to help the overall return of the rest of the pool. But just on this asset, the way it was booked into his QuickBooks accounting software or whatever he uses on this particular pool, on that particular asset, that's the return. So congratulations to you guys. That is outstanding. Great work. I know you guys are serious students of this and want to get very, very good at what you guys are doing in terms of modifying and restructuring debt. So, all right, so we got a few more takers. Carl, William, John, they're all in. They like it. They like it.
One comment I wanted to make was, you know, you mentioned at the call about the side-by-side coaching. I mean, obviously, you know, we live real close to the office, so it's easy for us to get there. But, I mean, even the virtual stuff, I mean, Kristen has been phenomenal. you know, helping us, and, you know, Travis here and the whole team, just but just being able to ping, hey, this is what I've gotten from the borrower, you know, what do you think? And, you know, underwriting the deal and just giving little pointers and tips to help get to that final workout. So I appreciate all your guys' help.
Well, no, you're absolutely welcome. You still there, Kristen?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So one thing I was going to say that we've really, as more people join the group and more people buy more loans, we're very serious about this, you guys. We've actually made some internal changes to allow Kristen to spend, you know, roughly half of her time, you know, just under half, but, you know, so Tuesdays and Thursdays, these are days where, you know, with scheduling, she's set it aside for members. So in terms of member training and support, that's a big part of what Kristen's doing. She still has 100 assets that she's working. So she does have her job to do too, and there's pressure to get these loans performing. But she's done a great job since we just made this change. She was wearing lots of other hats, and we've allowed her just to do this. So we're excited about that, and that's, we just want you guys to know that's how committed we are to helping you guys. And, you know, when you talk about, you know, how long is it going to take me to hit my goals in terms of your passive income plan, we want to be here till you hit them. So we've got our goals too, and that's something that's really important. So last part today, guys, whoops. I'm going to figure out this mouse here. So our next training, just as a reminder, take advantage of the hotline submissions. And we're actually set up, guys, once a month to do the case study corner. I would love to have a case study as often as possible. But for sure, we're going to dedicate one of our calls a month to that. But, guys, a case study doesn't necessarily have to be a final result. It can be a live look-in on a loan and just getting a few what next or what other options are there that I should be considering that you're willing to take advantage of the whole group. And I can literally pass those on, or we can unmute people that have other good ideas and stuff. So I would strongly suggest engaging. At the level you guys decide to play is going to be some of the results you get. So anyway, next call. There are some recent changes on the CFPB, and so we've got a few enhancements to our Borrower Connect campaign that we'll review with you guys on the next call next week. And also something which I think is important, which Kristen's prepared some training on for next week, are the differences between HELOC, standalone seconds, and home equity lines, and how that affects calculating your delinquent interest, and more importantly, just your collectability and what you're trying to do. So anyway, so please mark your calendars and get on board. So let's go back to some questions, because I believe that's what we had. Yeah, we're at the end. So let's go here to Jan. What servicer does Eric use? Eric, chime in if I'm not mistaken. I think it's FCI, correct?
Yes, I've been using them. I can't say that I've been completely happy with everything. I do the no collection program, so it's $30 a month, and I do all the calls and everything, and they just send monthly statements. As I've gotten more knowledgeable about the note business, I'm realizing that some of their, you know, lower level employees don't necessarily know that much, and I've had to correct them on a lot of things. So yeah, I think that's probably just the industry. I don't think there's any vendors that you're going to be completely happy with. But the thing I liked about FCI is that they were licensed, you know, nationwide, and kind of just that continuity, I guess, for all the different states.
That's a big reason we use FCI. But I, you know, listen, guys, we're a group and we want to continue to vet the different vendors. But Eric made a really good point. He's gotten, you know, he's sharpened the axe and becoming sharper in what he knows and learning lots of new things. He's able to manage his servicer better. And if anyone's got a servicer that they think is absolutely drop dead awesome, you know, please tell us, because, you know, everyone, it seems like everyone comes with a guarded recommendation or discussion, we haven't had really anyone that they just feel is a 10 out of 10, you know, just in that outstanding level. But everyone's, you know, everyone brings different options and features and benefits that they have as to working with them. So question here, which I think is a really good question, and I don't know if this is from Gloria, it looks like from Gloria, but how much negotiation was done on the phone versus email? Any thoughts on how the contact is best? And let me, I just want to say something really quick, and then you guys, I want you guys both to chime in. But I have found that, at least when I was doing it, and even now, the phone call gives you that personal touch, but the email is what really spells it all out and kind of saves your bacon if they were ever to come back and say, you know, and I know some people that don't want to put anything in writing, right? Literally, they're constantly trying to do the phone, and it, they want to be, you know, kind of that little bit aloof if there ever was a proceeding. But I think it's important to really have it documented. But, you know, again, I might be different than others. Talk about that, Kristen. And
yeah,
and
I wanted to add, per FDCPA, you must ask for permission to email.
Very
good.
So
make sure that that is part of your, it's on our intake sheet, one of the questions that I ask every debtor. Do I have permission to email you? And do I have permission to call you on your cell?
Very good. So make a note of that. And again, I've got a question here coming in from Jen, which is really good. Is our next training November 18th? I guess it is. Sorry, guys. That's the next one. It's our off week this next week. So sorry about that, Jen. So that would be an opportunity to...
Yeah, the 11th would be Veterans Day, so that's why we bumped it to the 18th, I believe.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good. Guys, are there any other questions? It looks like we've hit all the questions. Is there anything at all that we can be helping you guys with? We've got, just while we've got you on the call, we've got Allied Loan Servicing that has come on as a new sponsor. We got the First National Acceptance Corp. Some of you know Fred Foote and his team, and they'll actually buy some of your notes. They're aggressive in their pricing, but you know, if you're creating notes, they're good. And they do some other things too, and they've gotten into some financing programs that are intriguing that we're kind of vetting out now. They're coming. There's a few others, and I just apologize because people are starting to send in checks to sponsor the event. We got the registration starting to heat up just with the newsletter going out, but we hope all of you guys will make it a priority to come join us at the summit. If you haven't already gotten your tickets, you know, you can, again, there's the VIP ticket price, or sorry, the VIP ticket features for the special standard ticket price that's good for Paper Profits Mastermind Group members only. So anyway, guys, very exciting. I'm excited, and I hope that, you know, we have a marathon case study call here once a month where we just go through case studies for a couple hours. But that's what we've got for today, and we'd love your feedback. Feel free to shoot us emails with anything. I don't see any other questions coming in, so congrats to John Costigan. Congrats to Eric and Melanie Turner. You guys are rocking and rolling, and I know several other of you guys have some other success stories as well that we'd love to have you share. So anyway, submit those to us. Have an outstanding rest of the week. Keep an eye out for the No Tools Insider coming up this week, and we shall talk to you again. I'm off on the IRA Fun Cruise here with John, so we wish you guys were all joining us, but we'll be in Puerto Rico next week, and then we're back the following week, and we'll be excited to hear how things are going. So again, without any further ado, we'll sign off for this week. Thanks. Bye now.